Would you please open to Philippians chapter 2? These are some things on my mind over the years that I would like to share with you. And I don't know where it will stop, but I have some thoughts, and I would certainly like to share some things with you about the Christian life. Some of the things I've learned and I'm learning. Philippians chapter 2. I want to read just verse 5 right now. This will be the key thought. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. I'm reading from the New American Standard. I might mention to you that I'm slowly moving over to the New American Standard to see what I can do with it. But it says, let this attitude, let this mind have this same attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Now, the cross is everything. The death on the cross, if you're an unbeliever, I'm going to be talking about the Christian life, but the death on the cross and humbling himself and emptying himself and laying aside his divine prerogatives and power and becoming a servant and coming to the cross and dying is a place where our sins were dealt with. We are saved because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and we are saved by faith. And it's interesting to me that the Apostle Paul takes verse 5, thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who emptied himself and became a bondservant and humbled himself and became obedient and went to the cross. He's using this portion in Philippians chapter 2 as a way of encouraging the Christians to live a certain kind of Christian lifestyle. He says, let this attitude be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And what I would like to do is think about this. What kind of attitude did Christ have? What are we to have? Certainly, he's not asking us to go to a little literal cross and die on it for some kind of penance. The work of our salvation has been paid for through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But what are the features of Christ's mind? What are the things that we ourselves should have? Now, I've listed some things down. I doubt whether I'll get through them all this morning. I've listed down 7 things. The first one is submission. And we'll talk about submission because I believe submission is one of the most important features in the Christian mind. Devotedness, singular-mindedness, meekness, gentleness, prayer. He was a man of prayer. The Gospels have plenty of verses in it that tell us he prayed, and sometimes he prayed all night. Sympathy. There's a great high priest with the sympathy for our weaknesses, the grief he showed, that unbelief of men, the unbelief of the world, and the kindness or benevolence he showed. Now, these are some things I've written down in order to examine what is the mind of Christ. What are the features of the mind of Christ? I have a lot of verses here this morning that I want to read. And the first place I'd like to go is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. What is submission? What do I mean by it? Let's go to 6:20, 1 Corinthians 6:20. All right, and take a look at it. Well, actually, let's move up to verse 18. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but immorality, man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, whom you have of God, and that you are not your own? You are not your own. Ownership. The death of the Christ on the cross to pay for our sin means that he is ours. We belong to him. Ownership. We, our lives now, ought to honor him. For you have been bought with a price, the price of the work of Christ on the cross, the shedding of his blood. Therefore glorify God in your body. So the first thing that comes to mind when I think of submission is ownership. When he saved me and put away my sins, he didn't do that just to let me go free and live any way I wished. He didn't say, your sins are not forgiven, and go on and live the way you want, and I'll see you in heaven. Rather, we are bought with a price. The Holy Spirit lives in us. At the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit began to live in us, and we were sealed. And the earnest of the Spirit were given to us, and those were non-experiential. In other words, I didn't feel them. I didn't sense them, but that took place at the moment I became a Christian. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Now, again, I'm going to have a lot of verses, and I may not look all of them up. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, we know that's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we know that the Lord understands what is going to happen within the next 24 hours and more. He has chosen his disciples, and he asked the disciples when he got to the garden to pray. And it said he went a stone's throw away. Well, depending upon how strong your arm is, anyway, he went a fair distance away to pray. The disciples fell asleep. But the Lord went through this, and he said, not my will, but thine be done. He would face, within the next 24 hours or more, lies, accusations, punishment, false judgment, and death on the cross. And he knew what was going to take place. And part of submission is the ownership. We belong to Jesus Christ. We belong to God. And it's not our will, but his. In difficult things, in easy things. So this is the foundation, by the way, of Christian character, submission. Willing to be absent from the body of self-interest. If you read Philippians, that's what it is. Self-interest. Willing to be absent from the body of self-interest and to present ourselves to him to do the will of God. John chapter 5, verse 30. Gospel of John 5:30. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. In all occasions, we found the Lord wanting to do the will of his Father. And he repeated it many times. Submission is doing the will of God, because God has bought us with a price. Not only have our sins been forgiven, but he has bought us with a price, and he intends for our lives to glorify him. And he intends for us to understand, just as our Lord said, not my will but yours, and I do the will of the Father. Romans 15:3 says that even Christ pleased not himself. Now that's in the context of chapter 14 and 15, where he's talking about a relationship with one another. How quick we are to judge one another's servant, he says. How quick we are to compare ourselves. He says, do not judge another man's servant. And that chapter, those two chapters, deal with our relationship with other people in the body of Christ. And much of that has to do with judging people and holding people to our standards and not freeing them to be what the Lord Jesus Christ wants them to be. So it says, even Christ pleased not himself. So what is submission? First of all, the message of the gospel that we believe must become part of our lives. It must become part of our living. Submission is the fact that we are to be examples. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and we are to live that out in reality. We are to show the reality of the message. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, Paul says, through the promises of God, I come to recognize that I have a responsibility to live that relationship. I suppose I should read that so that you can get a better look at it. It was 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Because we belong to Him, we are to allow the work of God to be in our lives. But notice, He says, having these promises, the promises that God has given to us to take us to heaven, to live in us, to give us victory, to give us strength, having those promises, He said, let us cleanse ourselves from those things that defile. So submission is a recognition of His ownership. I belong to Him. My life is not my own. The message then must become part of my life. And it includes moral things, immoral things, cleansing ourselves. Remembering that the promises that God has given to us ought to encourage us to live a certain way. Let me ask a series of questions. Do I realize that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That He really lives in me. And that through the Word of God, He urges me and guides me. Or am I condoning some kind of habit in my body or a habit in my thinking which cannot withstand the light of God shown upon it? Is there something in my life or my thinking that if the light of the Word of God or God's light would shine upon it, it would be seen as defiled? So the Holy Spirit lives in me, and am I condoning some habit? Now, we all have problems. We all have sin. We all have temptation. And some of us struggle with things, and we go through things, and we struggle to get through them, and God is on our side working with us. But are there things I'm condoning, just letting have free reign in my life? If the light of God shone upon it, what would it look like? Is my mind, let this attitude be in you, is my mind in perfect agreement with the life of Jesus in me? Or am I mentally rebellious and defiant? What do I mean by that? Lord, I just can't do that. I won't do that. That's too hard, my circumstances. The world around me presses me so much that there's no way I can stay free from that sin. There's no way I can have victory. So is my mind in perfect agreement that what God says is true and right, and I must do it? Let this mind, this attitude be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Another question. Am I allowing the mind of Christ to be formed in me? When I have problems, anger, bitterness, I'm out of fellowship with other people, I'm rebellious about some particular thing, am I allowing the mind of Christ to be formed in me? Am I allowing the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to deal with the issue and deal with it in such a way that I become Christ-like? Submission is understanding that I must give myself to God and difficulties and problems. I have the responsibility to keep my spirit in agreement with His. when you have troubles, when you have difficulties, when you have trials, when they seem to go on forever, when our hearts are rebellious and our minds are rebellious, God, that isn't fair. Why have you done that? Rise up every time to whatever occasion comes your way. Rise up and let the Lord deal with you. Do not give in. Do not stop. Another question regarding this issue of submission. Are you still the same grouchy, miserable person you were before you became a Christian? Set on having your own way. Then it's almost a lie to say you're a Christian. I'm not saying you're not, but you're still the same grouchy, ornery person you were. Same kind of attitudes. Same judgment that you had in the Word you're bringing to the church. And when you bring them into the church, you just have the same things. Ideas against other people. And it's quite typical in Christian churches around the world. Believe me, it is. It certainly is. Are we set on having our own way? If that is the case, I will have my way in the church. I will have my way in service. It seems like you're almost living a lie. Submission is giving in. The next big thing about submission is that, and really important, is that God is the master designer of our lives. Remember now, He owns us. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. And He's the master designer. He knows what I need. He knows what you need. He knows when and why. Now, we often say that we should be in the Word and the Word should speak to us. That's absolutely correct. But we're not good listeners to the Word. Not the way we ought to be. I talk to myself. Right? We're not such good listeners to the Word. So God puts us through something so that we'll begin to listen. That's why we have trials. That's why we have trials, because we should be learning without a trial. We look at our kids when they get in trouble. You couldn't have learned that without doing that. Sometimes they just don't. And it happens the same way in the Christian life. So He's the master designer. He allows adversities into our lives to see if we can look to Him, understand Him, submit to Him. If we can be victorious, He'll never shield us from the requirements of being His child. He will never shield us from that. His goal is not to neglect us. 1 Peter 4:12, a well-known verse. 1 Peter 4:12. That's 2 Peter. 1 Peter 4:12. Here we go. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange things happened to you. God owns us and He designs things for our lives. He engineers our lives and our circumstances. And we are to rise, as I said before, to the occasion. Whatever it is, whatever comes our way, the mind of Christ, we rise to the occasion. Lord, what do you want? What do you want to teach me? Why are you putting me through this? Why do I have to go through it? Why isn't somebody else going through it? And this are the sort of things that are important to us. Rise to the occasion. Do what the trial demands of you. Do it victoriously. The proper goal of the Christian life is to show that Jesus is Christ is in our life. And when this occurs, all dictating of our demand stops. That's what submission is. We stop dictating to Him and telling Him what we know is best for us. And we stop arguing with Him about things that we do not approve of. He owns us and He designs the circumstances of our lives. Let me tell you a story after I get drunk. When we left the mission board and came over to work with the assemblies, it was a hard decision for us to make. Really hard. There were a lot of circumstances involved that aren't worth talking about. But we came over with a great sense of anticipation and joy. And then all of a sudden we lost our support. We lost friendship. One of my close friends wrote me a letter and told me I was in the hands of the devil. You think I'm kidding? I had to tear that letter up fast because it was in my bottom drawer and I often took it out and read it. And Donna came in one day and said, let's tear all those letters up and let's not talk about it anymore. Anyway, all of a sudden, I lost my support. I had to start teaching English. I've told you this story, I suppose. I had to start teaching English to support myself at Columbia Wages. It went on for 8 months. During that 8 months, there was what I call darkness. Lord, I read Psalm 13. How long? How long will you hide your face from me? We've obeyed your word. How long? And I remember praying Psalm 13 all of the time. And I was teaching English in a carnal environment at Mayer Language Center. It was a carnal environment because the young girls wanted to learn English so they could get jobs for American companies. And it was a carnal environment. And I would come home late at night. I had to leave the house early, teach, come home for lunch, go to high school and teach, come home for supper, and go and teach till 11 o'clock at night and start all over at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I took watch after work when I'd come home in the dark. And I fought. I can't tell you how I fought. And then one night, when I was walking, a thought came to mind. It was of the Holy Spirit, of course. The thought was, when you stepped out to serve me, you said, I want to do your will. Do you really want to do my will? I think so, yeah. I want to do your will. All right. What if my will is to have you teach at that school for the rest of your ministry in winning people for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to do that? My first, no. No, I don't want to do that. And then it began to come through. It began to click. I don't know how to explain it. It wasn't light shining. I wasn't raptured or anything. It just became clear. You really don't want to do my will. And then I remember saying, Lord, if that's what you want, I will do it. Well, you know what happened? Within about 4 days, a check came in the mail. The check had been mailed. We hadn't got money in months from America. The check had been mailed about the same day I was fighting it out. A check came in the mail. Wasn't a big amount, but I remember getting that check downtown at the post office. I could have flown home. I was had so much joy. And then Don and I had some bills to pay, and then another check came. And then another check came. And then another check came. I'm not joking. And then the church that had said, we don't want to support you anymore, sent us a letter and said, we're going to give you support again. And all of a sudden, I quit my job, started working, and within weeks, we had a little assembly in our home. What I think submission is saying, you know best, I belong to you, ownership. I belong to you. And I will rise up to the occasion and do whatever it demands of me. Submission is the number one thing the Lord Jesus Christ did. And let me tell you about the mission field. The hardest part is not learning languages, and languages can drive you nuts. You get to a place sometimes where you'd like to rip your little apartment apart because you're tired of verb, past tenses, future tenses, and all kinds of other tenses. You're just ready to rip it apart. Take long walks. The hardest part of being missionary is learning culture. Actually, to me, learning culture was fascinating. I studied a lot of cultural anthropology, and I really loved it. That part I really enjoyed. The hardest part was not the heat. And the heat is awful. You know, all these people hear about the rainforests. And they're so nice and clean and beautiful, and the flowers and the trees and all the rainforests. The rainforests are full of bugs and dirty water and heat and sweat. Now, if you take one of those cruises to Costa Rica and you go to rainforest, remember, that's phony. That's to get Americans to get on cruise ships and walk on these nice, I haven't been there, by the way, on these nicely built wooden walks. You say, well, this is wonderful, isn't it? Wasn't the heat. You know, the hardest part of being missionary was submission. We want success. And when we heard about somebody else who had success, Lord, what are you doing? You leaving old ducky on the side here? What's going on? The guy's a dummy. Or something like that. Submission. We demanded success. And when others have it, we question God's design. Missionary life is voluntary. That is the biggest point of submission. All you have to do is go to your apartment, open your drawer, take out your passport, put it down. I can be home in 3 days. Nobody stopped me. There's nobody telling me what I can't do. I just get on a stick in an airplane and go home. The hardest part of being missionary was submission. Staying and doing God's will. Rising to the occasion. Understanding His ownership. That we are bought with a price. And so often we demanded success. The thing about missionary life is you don't have to stay. You do not have to stay. And we often demand explanation from God. You ask a young missionary who's called, tell me how you're called. And what the... I don't know. Come on, you can't explain it. I've been reading and I feel... I think I'd like to serve the Lord. I mean, I don't know. See. It's voluntary. Between you and the Lord, you say, Lord, here's what you want me to do, and I'm going to do it. So what Jesus is asking of is this. To keep our minds filled with the concept of God's control over everything. He designs everything. And bear in mind God's control over everything, which means you and I must maintain an attitude of perfect trust in God. He knows what He's doing. But you say, why my Heavenly Father knows what He is doing, there are times when He won't give us light. There are times when He will not explain Himself. Psalm 13. And He asked us during those times to believe that we know exactly what He's doing. He owns us. He bought us. Our sins are forgiven. He wants us to glorify Jesus Christ through our daily living. And He wants us to submit to Him. And He wants us to say, you know what is best. Before we get to that point, we often run from one person to the other. And it's not wrong to go talk to people. But often we go run one person to the other for advice, 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 advice. And what happens is too often confuses us. And then we come to a point where we simply say, well, I give myself to you. And if this is the place, if you want me to go to Mayer Language Center and teach English and witness this group of carnal people, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do it. So there are times when God leaves us in darkness. And during the time I had darkness, He didn't lift the darkness. A friend of mine went home from the field because he was perplexed about how God was working, and he took his family home. We were close buddies. We were to work together in the tribe. Years later, when Donna and I and the boys came home from South America, we rented a car, I think, and we drove to Georgia. He lived in, I don't know. Anyway, lived in Georgia along the sea coast, a place called Folly Island, Folly Beach. He's an artist. And we took a long walk, and I was surprised when he said to me, you did the best. What? You stayed. And look what's been taking place. And I should have. I should have. That was quite a confession to make after not seeing somebody for about 15 years. And I thank God for that. So there are times when God will not lift the darkness, but we should trust Him. And it appears sometimes that God is just an unkind friend. He's just an unkind friend. He's just not helping us. He isn't doing what we want Him to do. Sometimes we think He's sort of like an unnatural father. I'm your child, and I'm not getting answers, and you're leaving me in this situation. And sometimes you think He's just unjust. Keep the thought in mind that the goal of God is behind all, everything, even the smallest detail. That's submission. Submission, ownership. God now wants us to honor His Son. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to bring things to Him and manifest the life of Christ in our lives. Let me just stop this morning with some questions. Are you giving the Son of God opportunity to work in your life? Is there something you've been holding back for years? A bit of frustration, a bit of anger, a bit of bitterness. I have that. Why am I deaf? I couldn't even begin to explain to you how angry I was at God. What'd you call me to the mission field for? I mean, that nuts. I went through all that training, and I went through language, and I went through anthropology, and I went, and I got a cheap sound system. And don't think I didn't fight. When I came home at 38 years old to work at the chapel, and I drove my boy to VCY school every morning, and then I drove over here to study, I wasn't a happy camper. I wasn't a happy camper. And I really fought. Is the Son of God being given an opportunity to work in your life? Another, is the Lord satisfied by your life, or are you exhibiting a walk of spiritual pride before Him? Lord, I can't accept that. I know what's best. Love for God is not something just sentimental, emotional. Right? Not just sentimental, emotional. It is the love of to do practical things and to let God work in our lives. So that, my friend, is submission. Do not sit at the door of God's purpose and die a slow death through self-pity. Self-will, pride, pours contempt on God's design. It says, I won't submit. And there are whole areas of all of our lives that God wants us to submit to. So when Philippians says, let this attitude or mind be in you, which was Christ Jesus, if you read that, you see the major thing is, and that portion is submission, right? He gave up the power he had. He never gave it up in a sense that he couldn't do it. He set it aside. And he emptied himself, verse 7, and he became a bondservant. And he humbled himself, and he became obedient to the point of death. So I only got to one this morning. But submission is the most important thing. Submission is hard. Remember, it says he owns me. He designed my life and he knows what's best for me. He at times may not explain himself to me. If a problem comes up and I am not able to understand it, I will rise to the occasion. I like what David says in Psalm 20. I love this. David is so enthusiastic about God's power. He says, I can run and I can face a troop of people who are coming after me. I can leap over a wall. I like that phrase. I wrote about it last month in the Courier. Just the excitement of this barrier. I can leap over a wall. I can meet them head on. Submission, people, is the number one thing. And submission is different than obedience. I obeyed. I obeyed a lot of stuff. But I snarled and growled around sometimes too. So there's a difference. Submission is my heart. Belongs to you. Your Son died on the cross for my sins that I might be saved by faith through grace. And you own me. And you've given me the Holy Spirit within my life. And I owe it back to you. And as the designer of my life and my circumstances, I trust you because you know what is best. Thank you, Father, for Paul using these thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ's life and death as a way of teaching us some very, very important lessons. Not my will, but yours, our Lord prayed. And all of the things that would take place within the next days were burdening his heart and causing pain. But I came, he said, to do the will of the one who sent me. Bless us and guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.